What a joy it is to celebrate family decisions people make for the Lord. Watching you, the church, us, the church, to make those steps that are led by the Holy Spirit. Thank you for being you. Thank you for rejoicing in one another. We are truly a family. I'm excited today because I get to speak four messages today. Not just this morning, but this morning, this afternoon, and this evening. And it's about the Word of God. But before I dive into the Word today, I want to share with you of tonight's message. We have OSL in the afternoon, but tonight's message, I entitle it Killing Giants God's Way. And what we're going to talk about and begin to move into is an area where the giant of emotional hurt and depression. So many people in our world, people that we know at our job sites, in our neighborhoods, that are struggling with emotional difficulty. And Scripture talks about that a lot. And so tonight at 6, I will begin teaching the biblical principles of breaking through from depression and emotional hurt and getting to the other side, because that giant has been killed in your life. So we're beginning a new series called The Blessed Family today. And I want to say to you, no matter what situation you are in, whether you're married, single, widowed, divorced, no matter what, God is going to speak to you in the next 5 to 6 weeks as we cover this series. I am going to talk about family. I'm going to talk about husbands. I'm going to talk about wives. We'll talk about children. What does Scripture say about raising children? And who are they in your life? And how we as parents are to take those principles and to guide them to the Scripture, guide them to the idea, the cultural idea that God has given us to be able to move and be that family that gives honor to the Lord. Now, I really don't know how to say this correctly, but I'm even, something that really hit my heart quite a few years ago, and I spoke on this one time before, many years ago, but I'm going to talk about grown children in your home, because we have today, because of financial insecurity and different things. We're going to talk about finances, but financial insecurity, we have a tendency where we're living together with grown children. And what does Scripture talk about that, about honor brings reward, and all of these things? So what I'm desiring to do and what I believe the Holy Spirit gave me was to help you and to help me understand how to live every facet of life that we have in our home, our family. And so we can understand this fully, we need to understand why so many families struggle. And I'm entitling the first message today. Next week, we're going to talk about the exact opposite. But today we're going to talk about the broken family. The reason we start with a broken family is all of us come from the first family, Adam and Eve. God put Adam and Eve, listen to this closely, on this earth, and there was something that happened, and biblically we call it the fall. And that fall even affects us believers even today, if we don't understand the principles of how to break through in that area. We all have biological DNA, biological characteristics in our body we get from Adam and Eve. We have also spiritual DNA, some genetic characteristics of Adam and Eve, and that's why we act a certain way. And because of the fall, we have a tendency, even though we believe God and the Scripture, we have a tendency to fall to that realm until we understand God's principles, how to break through of the brokenness. And because we're all born in this world broken. So I'm going to actually show you the three results of the fall. And from the results of the fall, when Adam and Eve fell first, it fell into mankind. And it affects us today, and here's our point. That's why we need Jesus to help us to break through. So are we ready to that? And not one of us have not been not affected by this fall and our families and why situations arise in our homes. So think about this. Even though there were two people on the earth in Genesis 3, by the way, turn to the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve, now Cain and Abel are in Genesis 4. But again, even though there were only two people, so every person on the earth was perfect, the two people, Adam and Eve. They had a perfect relationship with God and a perfect relationship with each other. And in just a few verses in the Bible, every person on the earth was in a broken relationship with God and each other. That is the fall. We can talk about all the experiences, all the things that people have done to us or whatever our experiences that are bad, but the reality is, it's the greatest difficulty regarding the fall is a broken relationship with God. And because of that, there was a broken relationship with each other. But there's a fix, and Jesus Christ did that. So let's begin now in this series, keeping this in mind, that we're all in this together, and we need to understand it doesn't take a village, it takes Jesus Christ to break through. In Genesis 3, verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it.'" Perfect. But then they added to it, "Nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Notice in verse 4, Satan misquotes God completely and contradicts God. "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food," notice that, notice this, Eve will see three things. Now I'm going to show you in a moment, Adam was there too. All right? And I'm going to explain these. Verse 6, that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also handed it over to her husband that was standing there with her, and he ate. Again, notice Adam was with her. Or Adam was beside Eve when the devil was talking to Eve, and Adam did nothing about it. So, guys, we can't say the woman did it, because the man was right there too. So let me show you another scripture, and then we'll go back to Genesis. You don't need to turn there. You can see it on the screen. 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world," watch these three things, all right? "The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world." So put into your memory the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride. So back in Genesis 3, let's continue and watch this. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that is the lust of the flesh, that it was pleasant to the eyes, that is the lust of the eyes, and it was a tree desirable to make one wise, that's the pride of life, pride. Church family, Satan has no new tricks. Matter of fact, I was in my man cave praying last night before I went to bed, and I wrote this. I felt the Holy Spirit asking me to write this. God's word isn't confusing. We don't need a new interpretation every time culture changes. We need the humility to let Scripture change us. We need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in due time, that season, there'll be a transformation in our life. And this is the desire of mine as we go through here. There's going to be, we're going to laugh a little bit. We're going to maybe even cry a little bit. We will maybe get uncomfortable with some of the topics I bring up. But I want us to recognize that we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same place. We become born again. We're going to learn next week what happened, how we've been transformed, that we can live exactly the way God created Adam and Eve to live. And it's a choice that we make, and it's a faith choice that we make to begin to do that. And that very lifestyle or transformation can change every relationship you're involved in, can change our church, because we're a family. I think we're doing pretty good. I think we're loving Jesus, and there's great things happening, miracles taking place. Two of them here received miracles in their life. And I want you to recognize that it is not a simplistic thing, but it can be simple if we will realize it's the Word of God that's truth, and it's the Word, that truth, that will set you free. So what three things happened when Adam and Eve fell, or what three things entered into the world when they fell, and what three things affect us today if we allow it to? Because we have victory over all that. Here's the first thing that has affected us. It brought shame in our life. Their first response once they have sinned was shame. Look at verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were open. Watch the first thing that the Bible says that they knew. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Notice they made themselves coverings. How many people that we know are covering up for their shame? And I want to tell you, and the way they're doing it doesn't work. And that's why fear begins to arise in their life. And the things that God is asking them to do, they're afraid to step out in their life and do those things because shame is still affecting their life. And I'm telling you today, even today, we can break through. So let me show you, and I'm going to explain this to you. Verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" See, he's always trying to get us to go back to him and let our words humbly go back to him and to give him the right answer, to proclaim his truth, his word back to him. So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, Adam, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." So the question, why did he have fear? Because the fall produced shame in every one of our lives. Watch verse 11. And God said, who told you that you were naked? We could say this. You've heard me say this many times through the years. Who are you listening to? What's truth to you? What is truth to you? What things in your life? Yes, this is happening. Yes, people have said these things. But what is truth? And that's what God is asking here. So the real answer to that question is, no one had to tell Adam anything, but shame came because there was sin. And what God was trying to do was get Adam to ask for forgiveness for that sin. Because God has never changed. No matter what mankind has done, God is a loving, caring God that wants to bring health to you emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Think about the story. There were only two people in the world, and they already seen each other naked. The only other living things on earth were animals. They were hiding from God, and they were hiding now from each other. They were ashamed the first time ever in their life. They were ashamed of their nakedness, but I want you to listen now. When we hear nakedness, we're thinking no clothes. But let me explain this to you. So they make themselves clothes to cover their shame, trying to cover up what's happening on the inside. Look at verse 21. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. They made clothes for themselves, but God makes something to cover them. God covered them with the skins until the blood of Jesus removed the sin. Now, notice when God covered them, there had to be blood shed of an animal. So the truth here is the only thing that will cover shame is the blood of Christ. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to really talk about it next week. But what God did was a type and a shadow of the blood sacrifice of his son and what he was going to do on the cross. This is, again, called types and shadows of Christ throughout the Old Testament. You'll see it throughout the Old Testament in the sacrifices. So please understand, okay, this is it. I know I've gone quick. This is kind of the introduction. But this shame, this nakedness is not something in the natural, but it's spiritual. It is spiritual. Revelation 3:18 says this, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire. He's not talking about literal gold. He is talking about the Word of God. His Word is more precious than gold, Scripture tells us. That you may be rich, watch this, and white garments, speaking of clothes, but it's not actual clothes. That you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Again, he's not talking about literal clothes, that he's walking around naked without physical clothes on. Isaiah 61, verse 10 says this, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. This is an example. So this is God's conclusion. And when I say this, don't hear me proclaiming this over you. But here is God's conclusion to your shame that you had before Christ. Or maybe some, because we don't see the truth that sets us free, we are still living in shame, and we're hiding things. God created you, and from the foundation of the world, He's gifted you. He's anointed you with amazing things that you will accomplish in this world, in this life. Shame is one of the most powerful things that is defeated by the blood of Jesus Christ, but one of the most powerful things that can steal, kill, and destroy the very essence of what God's called you to. And I just want to encourage you right now is that can, if that shame is still crawling all over you, that can stop now. And you can begin to rise up and begin to walk in this lifestyle. I'm telling you, I know because I've taught conferences on this reality of the fall. And I have seen life-changing in pastors, leaders, for the many pastors that are watching now. Understand this. Your congregations need this. Your home churches need this. They need the principle of the Word and understand that it's the Word of God and the truth of that Word and the blood of Jesus Christ that will remove that shame. Amen. So the only thing that will cover shame is righteousness. So let me distinguish His righteousness, and here it is, where sometimes we get into works, and which is good, but this isn't what we're trying to bring today, righteous living. Righteousness is right standing with God, that you've confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and His blood has removed that sin, and now you are in right standing with God, you are going to heaven. But the only thing that will take care of your sin and shame is having right standing, which is right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The only way you do that is confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord. But what we do, what I did, not anymore, many times, is think, if I can just overcome this, we're going to talk about depression in this series. Okay, if I could just overcome this, if I can just start living better, if I could just do, you know my famous word, do gooder in life. Or quit falling to this, then I won't have shame anymore in my life. And I'm telling you, that's an impossibility. The only possible way to remove your shame is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And from right standing, then you begin to live righteous living, which psychologically, many times we need counseling and different things like that. But at that moment, I want you to understand is right living is good, but I want to do right living or righteous living out of the sense that I am in right standing with God. That's why I do what I do, is because I am in perfect relationship with God. Okay, I pause there because I want you to just really allow that statement to sink in. So please see, we should live righteously, but I'm telling you that that won't take care of shame. The only thing that takes care of shame, again, is the blood of Jesus Christ. So what took place when you confess Jesus Christ as Lord, this righteousness is being deposited had been deposited into your account. You also need to know this. Sin was taken out of every person's account in the world when Jesus died on the cross, because He died for the whole world, not just for the church. So God already has taken care of your sin if you will believe in that and confess that. That's all we do. It's not by works, it's by faith in what Christ did. That's salvation. So we must grab a hold of that, because we're still beating our heads all the time trying to do better And yes, we're going to do better, but how you do better is understanding how you remove shame, the blood of Jesus Christ, and the relationship with God. So the problem I've noticed, me too, I can raise my hands, my feet, everything, is since I got saved, I still make mistakes. Here it is, I still sin. Did you hear that music? Well, let me ask you this. How many of you, since you've got saved, have made a mistake or have sinned? Raise your hand. Look around. Online, raise your hand too. Look around. A lot of sinners around here. No, just kidding. Because we have to understand the spirit and the soul, and that'll be in our next series. But I'm trying to take us into this. This is a teaching part of my anointing or call in my life. But I want you to recognize this. You got this thing. You have the ability to do this. Your broken marriage, your broken relationship, your broken family, it can be transformed. Why? Because you get righteousness. You get what the blood of Jesus did in and for you. And when people come together and they realize that, then you begin to walk in this breakthrough lifestyle and in your marriage. So the reason I did that and had you raise your hand and we joked about that is we always are going after ourselves and saying things like, well, you just don't know what my past is. And that's why I have the struggle that I have. Jesus died for your past. God loves you, and he has removed your sin and put his son's righteousness in you. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, let me just say this to you, is the reason, because of the fall, is that's why you blame. Matter of fact, that's our second point. So the fall, the second point is blame. First is shame, and then from shame, then you begin to blame. Look at Genesis 3, verse 11. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Blame the serpent. In verse 12, Adam blames two people. Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the tree and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the devil made me do it. And every one of you went to that sitcom. The devil made me do it. None of them took responsibility for their sin. The result of the fall of sin is when you see your children blaming someone else, that's where all of us get this from. It's from the fall. Adam said, the woman that you gave me. He blamed Eve and he blamed God. He might have said, I was doing fine with the dog. Man's best friend. Isn't that amazing how we have to blame something all the time? Most of the time we say, well, it's not my fault, or it's all my fault. You know, some of you, your personalities, your giftings, you take responsibility, but because you don't understand what Jesus did, the blood of Jesus Christ, then you blame yourself all the time. That's why you think you can't do things. That's why you think when God says, I want you to step out and do this, oh, I can't do that because it's all my fault. Both statements are wrong. We're trying to put blame somewhere, and that's the result of the fall. Think about this. How many people are living in bitterness toward others and towards God? They're good people. They go to church. They worship. They even read scripture. But there's bitterness there, and they will only go so far in relationship. When I teach on financial stewardship, people say, I hear about the blessings of God, but I'm not living it. Apparently, something's wrong with me. No. No. There's nothing wrong with you. God says it pleases him to prosper you. Don't live with blame. Don't blame others. So here's where blame comes from. It comes from a person named Satan. Watch this. Why I say that, and I'm simplifying this, but it's scripture that simplifies this, because there's another word for blame, and the word tells us it. It's called accuser. Revelation 12:10, he never stops. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, hello brethren, who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Day and night, 24/7, that spirit is there bringing blame. Notice the word our brethren. Before you accuse someone else, remember they're your brother and your sister. As a supervisor overseeing quite a few churches for about 7.5 years, one of the biggest battles was I would go and train the council in what a council was and then train the leadership of the church how you get along. And I would bring this terminology up and it would shock people. But you know what happened? Is I saw so many times this transformation in churches where churches grew. And they began to honor one another. And scripture tells you that honor brings reward. Honor brings reward. I honor my wife and it gives me a reward. I have this beautiful wife. And I do those things. And the reason I don't go around and say, you know, because you do this, I'm not going to do this, and you know, all that. That comes from the fall. I've been delivered from that through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I know at this moment, I wrote on the side of my notes, this is where the congregation gets real quiet. So don't fear. They will smile in a little bit. There is so much accusation going on in the body of Christ right now instead of love and forgiveness. So here we are. The result of sin is shame. The result of the sin was blame. And here's the third. And I know you're going to misunderstand it, but I'm going to use the word fame. But it's not like you're thinking. Well, let me explain. I'm not talking about that what it does, it brings you into being famous. But it is a wanting to be recognized. Wanting to be acknowledged. We all want that, don't we? And you know what? Recognizing and acknowledging people is a good thing. That's part of righteous living. But it's not because of being famous. It's because we're brothers and sisters. Recognizing who your wife is, recognizing who your husband is. I'm telling my grandchildren all the time, I'm telling them, you know, who they are to the Lord, who they are to me. And I do that with people, even though sometimes some people are mean. And they say things and the hurtful things at times through the years. But I always recognize that I can't live my life as a pastor wanting to be recognized, wanting to do, you know, God has blessed my wife and I in ministry, and we've had the privilege of doing a lot, traveling all over the world, all the different things, speaking all over the place, meeting presidents of nations, all these things that happen, and it's like, pat on the back. No, I don't want to be recognized. I have the privilege of going into these places representing Jesus Christ. I want him to be recognized. And the only way that I do that is I understand everything that I am is because of what Jesus did for me. Everything that I am is because of what Jesus did for me. To the point where I'm smart enough to know that I could do things and get more recognition. But I have learned I don't do things to get recognition. I do things because I'm led of the Holy Spirit. I'm led of the Holy Spirit. Do I make mistakes? Yes. We all raised our hands. So it's an insecurity that all of us have that we need someone to recognize us. So we ended with verse 13. And we're going to go to verses 14 and 15. God announces the curse that came on the serpent because of what he did. But verse 16 announces the curse that came on Eve. And verses 17 and 19 announces the curse that came on Adam. But before I move into there, this is something I hear people do all the time, even my peers. Let's talk theology here. Okay, this is theology. God did not curse them. He told them of the curse they brought on themselves. What do I mean by that? God said, I told you you would die, and this is the result of the death. In this series, we will talk about these curses. Because unfortunately, some people are still living under those curses even though they're born again. And you've been delivered from it. The Bible says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us from the curse. I am bought back. I no longer live under a curse. I live under a blessing. My home, no matter what goes on, good or bad or ugly, whatever it is, I am living under the blessing of God. And if I will understand, I don't blame, I don't walk around in shame, and I live my life in this development that we're talking on this third point, that I want you to recognize, if you will just grab a hold of this and do this, you will see the blessing of God manifest, and the fault or what the fallen people created in our lives, the fall created in our lives, the sin that created sin in our life will no longer rule our lives. And your home will be delivered. Bring your friends, bring your neighbors, because they are going to not only be challenged, but they will hear the truth of the Word of God. And I just want to tell you, Valley Community Church is a word church. Valley Community Church is a church that walks in faith. Valley Community Church believes in counseling. Valley Community Church will tell people, you need to find counseling. but we continue to give the word. And we understand at Valley Community Church, even though we give counsel, Valley Community Church is a word church, and it's the truth that will set you free. Amen. Amen. So God announces that in verses 14 through 19. And as soon as he finishes, watch what happens, verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. You're probably saying, wow, that's cool. That's not a bad name. Eve, by the way, does mean life, mother of life. So what's wrong with that statement? And if your name is Eve, you're watching online, your name is Eve here, it's a great name. So I'm not coming against the name, but what Adam did. Remember, this is after the fall when Adam gives her the name. God didn't give her the name Eve. Adam did, after Adam was a sinner. Remember, separation from God, separation from each other. Before the fall, which is in Genesis 2, Adam says of Eve, watch this, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Adam says, you are part of me, we are together, we are one. After the fall, Adam says, you're Eve. He labeled her. What he labeled her is, I'm going to read this because I wrote this down, so I exactly said what needed to be said. He labeled her as separate and distinct from him. Oh, don't we wish that on ourselves? Separate and distinct. And bottom line, your purpose, mother, is to bear me children. Hear me out. Her name was not Eve, because God didn't name her Eve. I'm going to tell you her name. Have you ever read her name? It's found in Genesis 5. This is Eve's real name. Genesis 5, verse 2. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam, Adam, in the day when they were created. God called him Adam. What does Adam mean in the Hebrew? It doesn't mean man. It means mankind. So Genesis 5, 2, in the New King James Version, he created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. So Scripture says, listen closely, this matters. You got to hear this. God makes the two one. And what God has joined together, let no man separate. But immediately when the sin came into the world, before sin, Adam said, we are one, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, one flesh. After sin, Adam said, we are separate. You're different than me. You think different. You have a different wish, desire in life. So here it is. Ladies have been struggling with this for 6,000 years since Adam did this. My only purpose is to be a mother. Ladies, that's great, being a mom. We honor that. And you're created to be great moms. But I'm here to tell you that's not your only purpose. It's not your highest calling. Now, in this, your highest calling is not being a husband or father or a wife or a mother. Your highest calling is to be a child of God. If you focus on being a child of God, you will do well as a husband, a father, a wife, or a mother. When you understand that, when you are married, that's why I'm very distinct when I do weddings, whether it's in my office, at a park, wherever. I have to talk to the couples and tell them, hey, when we do this and this happens, in God's eyes and what he does, you are now one. You are one flesh. Will you do different things? Absolutely. There's different call. There are different anointings. There's different giftings in all of us. You will function. But in relationship, you are one. That's why people have problems in marriage. It's in my notes. They will be quiet here, too. So we all have our callings, as I said earlier, before the foundation of the earth. Ephesians 1 tells us that. I'm just listening for a second. I'll say it. Adam, immediately after sin, labeled his wife. This is who you are, and you stay in that spot. And she went around like this. This is who you are, and you stay. And if you get out of line, you can't do that when you're one. If you're one, that's like your human body. If you're one, and you want to go left, and then you want to go right, you can't split. Go both directions. Amen? Nudge your neighbor. Just say, this is good stuff. Go ahead, just say that. So, here we go. What's the answer for the shame, the blame, and the fame we fall into? The answer is Jesus Christ. Come to church as many times as you can. It's not the many times, but it's because that's where you're fed. That's where you come together and you enjoy the fullness of relationship. Brothers and sisters, many of you watch online after COVID. That's fine. That's great. That's wonderful. You're in church with us. But it's a fellowship of the believer, your brothers and sisters, that God does something very unique. And when we're together, God does things unique. Wasn't this great with the water baptism? Man, I'm just so proud of the... Wasn't it great when we received communion? And Pastor Dan so uniquely and greatly does communion and quote scripture, led of the Holy Spirit, all these things, and then we take it together. What are we taking in? We're taking in right standing with God. We're taking in healing. We're taking in that salvation. Okay? It's just that we're together. Let's all stand, and I want to just say and read one scripture and close with you. Thank you for being my family. Thank you for all you brothers. I see some of you that I've known for many years, that life has led you other places. And I look at you and I say, God is so good. I've had the privilege of having friendship and relationship with so many people. But it's not to be recognized. Again, you hear me all the time. That's why I sit over there. That's why Pastor Terry gets up here. That's why Pastor Dan gets up here. That's why the worship team gets up here. That's why Pastor Ryan does the water baptism. Why? Because I want to recognize other people. Because I understand right relationship. The four that were baptized, I was so... like, wow, look what they're doing. You know, you want to jump up. We clapped and we shouted. But you want to jump up and shout for them. Why is that? not because they're famous in this world, but because you understand the truth of family, relationship, and the three things from the fall, but you've been delivered by Jesus Christ. Next week, we're going to really show you that. But you're seeing people that have made those choices. And some of those people probably walking down the stairs and getting in there, and they look at all the crowd. They're afraid, right? I mean, I've done weddings where people faint, all kinds of things, because of they're nervous. They don't want that fame. But here's the reality. I don't need to be recognized. That's why I sit over there. I want you to be recognized. When you walk in here faithful to worship the Lord, and I hear you shouting to the Lord, you're not doing it so you can be recognized. You're doing it because you have right relationship with your God. And because of that, you leave here and now you have right relationship with one another. Wasn't that cool last week, celebrating America? Eating hamburgers and hot dogs. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Sheila, and your team. Yeah. And of course, we couldn't do that without apple pie. But God really does want to bless your family. No matter where you're at, God does really want to bless you. Whatever situation you're in or relationships, God wants to bless you. This is how it's done. Can I pray for you? Father, we come before you in Jesus' name, thanking you for simplistic truth, but a truth that has been hidden because of the consequence of fall. 24/7, the enemy has tried to construct walls around our lives where we can't see over them. We can't understand what your desire is for us. And the word sometimes just brings confusion in our hearts. But Satan, I come against you in Jesus' name. And I proclaim in this house, and everybody that watches or listens to this house, there will be a transformative move of the Holy Spirit in their homes. Blessings upon the marriages. Blessings upon relationships. Blessings upon our children. Blessings upon our children's children. Because of the work of the cross in all of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for your word, how precious it is to our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Love you all. Thank you for being here.